All right, I'm going to talk about cardiac arrest, chest pain. Does anybody here know anybody who's had a heart attack before?
Grandfather.
Heart attack doesn't mean your heart stopped. Heart attack doesn't mean you had some beer. Have you had a heart attack?
No.
Know somebody? How many people here are over the age of 40? Bam! We're in the heart attack zone.
So
cool.
Oh my god. How can we agree?
Is Swanny's how old?
That's like
40.
He's 40.
I took all that ass.
How old are you?
You're young.
I'm like 36.
He's dropping it.
So as far as heart attack stuff goes, it's chest pain. Has anybody here had chest pain that wasn't heartburn? Yes, Nate had it. But you had like a pleural something or...
Costochondritis.
Yeah. Wasn't a heart attack. Has anybody else ever had chest pain that was cardiac related, or what was yours?
Inflamed lung tissue.
Yeah, I think that might be called pleurisy.
Pleurisy, and it sucks.
Did you end up having? You had it.
I've had pleurisy twice. It's really not.
And it's painful.
I had to get X-rays because the medic thought that it was awesome, but I also had a hole in my lung, part of the issue.
Yeah. So pleurisy sucks, but chest pain, anybody can have a heart attack. Doesn't matter how old you are. Generally, it's over the age of 40, and it's through bad living and bad choices and bad genetics. But chest pain for men, usually most people have what we call substernal chest pain, right over their sternum, right where you put your hands to do CPR. That's where your heart is. Your heart sits right there. And it angles off in one direction, so you end up getting chest pain in here. Some people will say it feels like a squeezing. Some people will say it feels like an elephant is sitting on my chest. Some people describe it as stabbing. It doesn't matter. If you're having chest pain and it's in here, or as a man or a female, it goes into your left arm or your jaw, then pretty much consider yourself having a cardiac event. So there's a difference between in men and women. Men have what we call classic signs. Chest pain, left arm, left jaw.
That is so sick.
Isn't it? Right? Even so, our bodies are like, there's a difference because women are cooler. So that's if you're having chest pain, call 911 ASAP. If you're out in the middle of nowhere on a ride, figure out where you are in your GPS or your map and get to the closest city. Or at least get to the closest place where you can get cell signal. My advice to you, if you're having chest pain while you ride your motorcycle, get to the closest cell zone, call 911. How many people ride with GPS? So quite a lot of you, maps or some sort. You kind of half-ass know where you are most of the time. If you kind of half-ass know where you are most of the time and you're like, oh, I'm 100 miles from that city, but I'm 50 miles from that city, go back. Go back to 50 miles because it's easier and faster. But then also, to be fair, in terms of city, there's small cities like Cleveland that have like an urgent care center. And then the next closest city is 30 miles away, and that's Allensburg, and they can't really help you if you have cardiac problems. They send you to Yakima. So go with the bigger city, but if you're 50 miles from another city, they can at least do something for you. But we'll talk about what goes in your first aid kit. You're going to need aspirin, and we'll kind of talk about that after, but aspirin is the key. You're going to want aspirin. Aspirin is super cheap. I mean, it's like $4 for like a bottle of air. But you're never going to use that much aspirin. So you can buy those little 2-packs of aspirin.
And do you mean specifically that and not ibuprofen, not...
Specifically aspirin.
Okay.
Aspirin is an salicylate or something. It's a blood thinner is what it does.
it's milligrams?
85 milligrams or something like that.
Unless your work is decided, I can't.
325 milligrams total. One adult aspirin or four baby aspirin?
So there's no problems. There's
generally, they sell aspirin in baby more than they sell in adult.
But
you want
like
one adult or four baby aspirin. And you get the chewables, and my recommendation for chewables is they make them taste nice. But they don't taste nice. But chew them up, put them under your tongue, and let it dissolve there. Because things go into your body faster if it's underneath your tongue. So try to get the chewables, put it in your tongue.
I don't know if this is a terribly weird question, but say you're giving CPR and you do think it's a hard thing. Could you, like, mama wolf this shit?
No, you can't get them to swallow it, and it causes more damage if you shove an aspirin down there, because then it might go down the trachea and then it'll really kill you.
Okay.
As soon as they wake up, try to get them to chew some aspirin. So definitely get the chewables, chew it up, put it on your tongue. Women are a little different. So women, sometimes you'll just be like, oh, I feel bad, or oh, my back hurts, or oh, my stomach hurts. Oh, I'm dizzy, right?
Wait, but it's only days.
Is it that time of month? So you can be having a cardiac event as a female with just dizziness and nausea. So women are a little different. We hide our symptoms a little bit more. But now dizziness and nausea doesn't mean pound the aspirin. Dizziness and nausea could mean something else. You could be dehydrated or other things could be going on. But it doesn't mean pound the aspirin. But as a female, if you start to get pain in between your shoulder blades, you feel dizzy and nauseous, you might have a little pain somewhere. It won't kill you to take aspirin unless you're allergic to aspirin, you have an ulcer, or otherwise taking other blood thinners. So you'll be fine if you took aspirin. It won't kill you. But I saw a lady the other night. She was like, oh, I have substernal chest pain. And it moved into her left arm. And when I put on my little heart monitor, I could see she was having a heart attack. So it was interesting to watch over the course of time as I gave her she took aspirin and I gave her nitroglycerin, morphine, and some other things. And I watched her heart attack start to go away because we started opening up her vessels. So start with aspirin, but you're going to keep that in your first aid kit. And we'll talk about some more drugs to keep in your first aid kit if you can get your hands on.
So when would the follow-up be? Like if I feel like I'm maybe having symptoms and then I take aspirin or I have whoever else take aspirin, at what point then do I like...
Go to the hospital.
Just go to the hospital.
Yeah. So think of your heart as being like, and I'm really bad at these things, but say your carburetor. And your carburetor has so many hoses coming into it. If one of those hoses got blocked, then part of your carburetor's not going to work. If another hose got blocked, then the other part of your carburetor's not going to work. So your heart's slowly dying. So if you took a bunch of dirt and you shoved it in a hose, and you turned on the water, on the other end of that hose is going to be a small trickle. But your heart needs blood. Your heart has some major arteries on it. It needs blood. So if you take aspirin, it'll try to start to thin things out, thin your blood, thin the clot, hopefully, unless it's some other thing, and try to get that blood flow pumping again to get your heart. So some people walk around with parts of their hearts that are dead. They're just dead. Blood flow got cut off, the tissue died, and then they have part of their heart that's dead. Sad, right?
It's fucking crazy that humble-ass aspirin.
I know, beggars making millions. So keep aspirin in there. We'll go over doses and stuff, but it's basically one adult or four baby aspirin. My advice, get the chewables. They're faster. They get in your system faster. Because when you break them up with your teeth and put them on your tongue, it goes in there faster. So if you have any symptoms whatsoever, call 911. Take aspirin. Keep it in your kit at all times. If you buy the little two-pack of aspirin versus like the whole like 60 that's in a little thing, because you're never really going to use 60 unless you want to share it with everybody in the group. But little two-packs are fine. Keep them in your kit. They expire. You just buy another two-pack. So heart attack is different than a cardiac arrest. Cardiac arrests often come after your heart attack. So you can have a heart attack, and then maybe later you can have a cardiac arrest, meaning your heart stopped. The cardiac arrest is the bad part.
So the fun part.
Heart attack is essentially blood flow got cut off and part of your heart is dying.
So your heart's with
part of it might be, yes. And part of it comes through, right? Don't eat a lot of fatty foods and eat a lot of vegetables and take good care of yourself and exercise, and that reduces your chances of having a heart attack. But an elite ultra marathoner just died at the age of 58 from cardiac disease because his left ventricle was too fat because of all his exercise. So sometimes maybe exercise is bad. But, I mean, the guy was an elite ultramarathoner, ran like a marathon a day.
Don't be crazy, though.
So his heart wall got too fat. He wouldn't pump anymore.
His heart was too buff.
His heart was a little too buff.
But his dad died. He was a retired SEAL team guy and was walking back to his car from his daily 15-mile run. And he said he was dead before he hit the ground.
So your heart just goes into this rhythm, and this rhythm. So your heart has electricity in it without being hooked up to a battery. It just pumps through its little cells in there. So your heart has a certain rhythm that it likes to do. It's a certain pattern that it follows. If it stops following that pattern, then the heart stops, but then there's still electricity in your heart. It's just not pumping your heart. And so that's a key time. That's within the first eight minutes and under. And then we can shock that heart, change that rhythm, and bring it back.
Put the needle back in the groove.
Right, you put the needle back in the groove. Exactly. So, but you can be walking along and just collapse. But if you do CPR for long enough, you may be able to get that person to come back with, they're probably going to have some deficits. They may not remember things, part of their body might not work, but they'll be alive, and hopefully they'll still have a quality of life. And you guys get to determine your own quality of life. So, I mean, to me, Christopher Reeve style is not quality of life. So, my advice for me, take me out back, put me down.
I would totally do that. If I wouldn't go to jail.
Come on, don't we have death with dignity in this state?
I don't think it involves 45s.
Just unplug the ventilator and I'll be fine.
Oh my god, nurse, look over there.
So the other major thing that we talk about in first aid that's kind of debilitating is a stroke. Anybody had a stroke? Know somebody had a stroke? It's also called a CVA. They can be good, they can be bad, they can be really bad, and they can be really debilitating. Stroke means that you had a heart attack basically in your brain. Some people call it a brain attack. You get a blood clot in your brain, then it cuts off oxygen and cellular flow to your brain, so part of your brain starts to shut down. So then part of your body starts to shut down. So some people who end up with strokes end up not being able to move certain sides of their bodies. Yeah, the face will kind of droop down a little bit, but sometimes you can't tell if their face is drooping down. You can't tell. But they have a thing called FAST. Face, arms, speech, time. FAST. So if you think somebody's having a stroke and they just kind of slump over and one side of their body is not working, sometimes they can talk to you, sometimes they can't. Sometimes their speech makes sense, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes they sound drunk. Because half their body is not working, so they're just sort of fine. It's okay, I'm doing just fine. You're not doing just fine. Stroke, all they want you to do is call 911. Wherever you are, call 911. If you're out in the middle of summer and your riding partner goes down with a stroke, call 911. If there's no cell signal, you're going to have to ride them out. So figure out how to ride somebody out. That's not my job to tell you. Put them on the back, strap them down somehow, ride them out to the nearest medical facility. If you happen to be somewhere or anywhere in King County or even Kittitas County, Pierce County, Virginia Mason, Virginia Mason, Virginia Mason. Virginia Mason is our leading stroke center over here on the west side. So if something happens and you have a stroke, you want to go to Virginia Mason. So most people in the EMS world know this, and they will take you to Virginia Mason. If you get hurt out in Nia Bay, probably get a helicopter right at Harborview, just because that's the first place they're going to send you, because you're on a bike. They don't know if you have other injuries or not. But if you're in Seattle and you think you have a stroke, you think your buddy's having a stroke, and you want to drive them to the hospital, go to Virginia Mason. If you're in Tacoma and they have a stroke, go to a hospital in Tacoma. They can easily help you as well, but Virginia Mason is where our stroke center is. And they're going to be your best course of action. For FAST, I mean, if you think somebody's having a stroke, FAST. Face, arms, speech, time. So for face, all you have to do is say smile. So if you say smile and they go, well, you can also say show me your teeth. So what you want somebody to do is do this. Or smile as best they can. It's kind of hard if you don't know somebody to tell if half their face is drooping. Because people, I'll show up on scene, and they're like, they're having a stroke. And I'm like, smile. I'm like, I don't know if that, is that normal? I don't know. So I don't know this person. But you would know who you're riding with to know that what their face might kind of sort of look like. Or who you're hanging out with. And if part of their face is kind of drooping. Some people have really dramatic droop. And then the other thing you want to do is check their arms. So say, close your eyes and act like Frankenstein. Put your arms in the air. This is what you want them to do. right? So if they do this, something's wrong. If their arms are not equal, something's wrong. If one's arm's down like this, then that's the side they have a deficit on. It means part of their face probably is slurring over there. Speech, ask them to speak. I'm always bad at this. I'm like, say, Sally sells seashells by a seashore. I'm like, that's bad. I can't even say that. So then you're like, teach an old dog new tricks. Just get him to say something, whatever it is that's simple and easy, a simple sentence that says, I like to eat chocolate, and listen to how their speech is. If it's slurred, for me, going on scene a lot of times, I'm like, I don't know if that's your normal speech or not your normal speech, but you guys know each other. You know how to communicate with one another. I would assume somebody would know if your speech was slurred or if you sounded slurred. In other words, go out, get hammered with everybody, and then see what their speech is like. And then if their speech is like that later, and they're not hammered, then chances are, because then part of their tongue isn't working inside of their mouth, part of their everything, all their nerves aren't working right. So you're going to know something is wrong with that time. So there's a time window. So face, arms, speech, time. Time is, there is about a 3 to 4 hour window from the onset of your signs and symptoms of your stroke to the time in which they can give you drugs to save your life and reverse your stroke. 3 to 4 hours. So if you're in Seattle, go to Virginia Mason. Really, at the end of the day, if you're in Seattle, go to Virginia Mason. If you're out somewhere else, go to the closest ER. They'll be able to give you those clot-busting drugs. You'll end up at Virginia Mason. But always go to the closest hospital for just about anything. But if you're seriously, we're local, like you have your choice of like 7 hospitals around Pill Hill. If you're having a stroke, go to Virginia Mason. That would be my advice on that one.